It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
Hi. Hi.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
That you miss in the spring when it comes to sports.
First of all, can we just briefly? I just saw the picture of the haircut that you gave to Mason.
Yeah, I'll post that later.
Were you drunk or were you wearing a blindfold? Which are the two?
It's incredible, isn't it? We decided to take out a Clippers. Their hair was so long, and I played haircut games with them. I mean, it was like
he lost that game,
right? It was like. Do you know how you used to try to make a picture on the Etch-A-Sketch, but you really could not make a picture with it?
Yes.
That's how I felt with the Clippers. I mean, I could. It was a semblance of a smiley face, but really not a good smiley face.
I think you could have done a better job, seriously, with a blindfold on.
I'll tweet that out in a little bit.
Wow.
But I was saying, of all the things we miss about sports, and there are so many things, every Monday, like years past, Dan Dockich was going to join us to break down the previous round's NCAA tournament. He would come on the day after Selection Sunday, would come on following the best weekend in the NCAA tournament when it's set with the Sweet 16, and today would have been Championship Monday. And Dan, this hurts. I got to tell you, today, like I've missed your scent, but today especially, I miss your scent
and your musk.
You miss my musk and my machismo. I understand. Speaking of haircuts, I'm begging my daughter, my wife, my stepdaughter, anybody to shave my head, and nobody will, and I'm not happy about it. But I think we would have had a great NCAA tournament. I really do. I was curious to see where Dayton was going to end up in all this. Because, I mean, you know, let's be honest. You don't get a number one seed at Dayton very often, if ever. Right. I mean, that's to me. You know, Kentucky's going to be Kentucky. Kansas, Duke, all those kind of guys. Michigan State. But, man, oh, man, you got a number one seed, and maybe Creighton was going to jump up to a number two seed, you know. I don't know. That's sad to me as a guy that coached, you know, at the mid-major level. They had a real chance. But I thought we'd had a great tournament. We didn't, and hope everybody's safe.
You know what, Danny, I said this in the past, and obviously we acknowledge the fact that everyone's health is most important. But with that in mind, like I have a college senior, and she came home March 15th, and you have these kids that were set to play in this tournament. And while, again, their health is most important, there is part of me that just feels so bad for all of these people that have worked so hard to participate in something like this tournament or to graduate from high school or college. And it does leave you, you know, with another sense of disappointment.
Totally agree. I mean, hey, Tommy, I have a stepdaughter who plays softball at Harvard, and they played a few games, and then all of a sudden, boom, go home. And the Ivy League was the first league that said that. And I'm not going to lie to you. I thought this was all a bit of an overreaction. We were down in Greensboro. We did the Wednesday night game, Sean McDonough and I, and sitting in a hotel room, we kind of knew we weren't going to play on Thursday. Sean and I had talked to some people after, and it was, you know, it was right when Gobert had his thing, and then all of a sudden, Thursday, you know, Jay Billis and Dan Shulman are doing the afternoon games. We're doing the night games, and they're on TV. Florida State's in the background. And then the texts start coming, you know, and this league canceled, that league canceled. So you knew it was a matter of time. But I'm telling you, the next – was it that day? I guess maybe it was that afternoon. I was playing golf. Our director, Scott Johnson, who directs the College World Series, and I, he's like, let's go – you know, let's just go find a golf course, rent clubs, and play nine holes. So we were talking, and he turned his phone off, but his Apple Watch was on, and we get this text that the NCAA tournament's been canceled and the College World Series has been canceled. We're like, what in the hell, right? I mean, you know, College World Series is until June, and then, you know, you realize and you start feeling bad for everybody. You know, you mentioned, you know, picking somebody up from college. We went to Harvard, picked up Teagan from college. Now they're home, and, you know, there's nothing you can do to replace it. There's nothing. But at least right. You're living, and at least you're safe. But, damn, man, that NCAA tournament or the College World Series or, you know, ESPN 1700 softball events, I don't feel bad for, you know, a lot of people in my life, but I feel bad for those kids, man. They get a chance to do that, it just doesn't happen. You know, I mean, once it's done, it's done, and can't get it back.
So now you understand the scope of the situation. I see you on Twitter too. You're telling people to stay home and everything like that.
Well, I want this back. You know, I mean, I want this back. I want sports back. I want to. You know, I'm gambling on Russian ping pong for crying out loud. Mm-hmm. On DraftKings. I think it's fixed. I've learned that this is crap. This Russia. I want sports back, and so you know we try to do our part, but it's just up to individuals. But the truth of the matter is, I don't know nothing. But I thought it was some at least encouraging news to read today. What the PGA Tour is and the USGA is trying to do, at least give you tentative dates in our city here. I thought Doug Bowles, who runs the Indianapolis Motor Speedway in the 500, did a smart thing. He said, "Look, we're gonna tentatively set this for August 23rd. It's the latest possible date we can have it, and we're not gonna say you know July 1st and then move it back. We're just you know." And the PGA Tour did that today, so at least that's encouraging. But man, you know, we want this over and as many people healthy as possible, and let's get our lives back is how I kind of look at it.
Danny, what has the NCAA done in terms of making decisions for eligibility for student athletes?
Yeah, they said that, you know what, student athletes in the spring are going to have the opportunity to get another year, not the winter. I don't think they've ruled on that yet. That would be basketball. And you know, it's interesting. You guys know my wife is a former softball coach, you know, long time. And she's like, you know, a lot of women don't take that extra year. A lot of women, they're going to move on. You know, they're 4 years, and the Ivy League basically doesn't do that. They came out and said, "No, we're not doing that. We're 4 years. We're about education in 4 years," and so they're not going to grant a fifth year. That's just not what they do in the Ivy League. In fact, in basketball, there's two players. One's going to Ohio State, and another one from Harvard. Two kids from Harvard. Another one's deciding between like I don't know Michigan State and whatever school he wants to go to. As graduate transfers. So, you know, it's a tough deal for kids, but hopefully, you know, kids will use the fifth year, get an education, get to play in an NCAA tournament or get to play at least their full season out. Cause man, you know, Tommy, you're younger than me, but these guys now, these girls now, they work year round. When I was playing, when we were done with the season with Coach Knight, I didn't see Coach Knight. No, I had to make a decision whether I was going to become an academic or an alcoholic when we were in the off season because we were done, man.
I know what
I mean,
you chose.
We were done. you can figure that out. I'll let you figure that out for yourself. But now, man, you give a couple weeks, NCAA tournament's over, and these guys are working out. They got workouts and so we never had that. So the work that these guys and girls put in is amazing, and you just hate to see them lose a year. You hate to see them lose an opportunity.
I want to ask you about one of the basketball executives with the Pacers who already turned down the Bulls just to interview with the Bulls. How well do you know Chad Buchanan of the Pacers? And Dan, let me ask you this, because Jerry Reinsdorf has been so loyal to his front office guys. If you've got the job with the Bulls, that seems to be a job for life. So why would Chad Buchanan turn down the chance to even interview?
Well, I think he probably figured he wasn't going to get the job. That's the only thing. I've known Chad a long time. I knew Chad way back, you know, way back and when he was coaching in college. And my assistant and him were best of friends 15 years ago. And Chad is a great, not a good dude, a great, great dude. And when I saw that, I don't know what you guys have been able to interact with NBA guys, but nobody can talk about nothing right now. It's like the strike way back in the day. Like even broadcasters can't talk about anything. So I haven't texted Chad, but I just assumed when I read that he didn't think he was going to get the job. And you're right. Let's be honest. Jerry Reinsdorf, man. I mean, you can love him. I love him personally, but you can dislike him, whatever. But man, oh man, is he loyal to his people? Once you get in with Reinsdorf, that's like a freaking golden parachute, right? I just assumed that when I saw that Chad wasn't going to get the job. And, you know, you see this all the time in college coaching, right? You see guys say, hey, look, I'm taking myself out of consideration because, well, I mean, they're not going to get the job. And I just kind of assumed that with Chad. But you would love him. I mean, he's straightforward. He's a working dude, man. He understands all the analytics. He's not a guy that's, you know, he's not married to nothing. He's married to everything. He wants he understands fit. Like, that's the one thing in talking to the guys here, Kevin Pritchard and Chad, they understand fitting a team. The pieces have to mesh. It doesn't, you know, a lot of times talent corrupts, you know, talent evaluators or coaches or GMs. They don't let that happen, man. They're in the fit, and I think that's a big time deal as you move forward in the NBA. But I was hoping Chad would get the opportunity. I've been a Bulls fan my whole life, man. I was hoping Chad would not only take an interview but get the job, because I think you all would have liked him.
Danny, we were having this conversation earlier today about whether or not this is still considered a good destination for a front office person who would be hopefully given full authority to make his own basketball decisions. Do you look at the Bulls job as a good job still?
Oh, man, hell yes. Big market, enthusiastic, crazy city that understands hoops. You don't have to sell anybody on hoops. You just got to sell people on being competent at your job and doing a good job. If I'm sitting here as a guy that's in line for jobs in professional basketball, and I look at the Bulls job and I say to myself, all right, what's a better job? I mean, I guess the Lakers, I don't know. The one thing about the NBA, I'll give the NBA credit, man. Nobody overrates New York like the NBA. Like, who's the last guy from New York that was a big time star? Like, who? I mean, everybody talking, well, the Knicks job is the greatest job, Madison Square Garden, my ass. I mean, the truth of the matter is, I'll take Chicago. I'll take that any day of the week. Major city, big-time basketball. You've got different neighborhoods that embrace it. Oh, man, I'll take the job. Hell, if Chad don't want it, I'll take the job. I'll hire the smartest dudes around me, and we'll get rolling here. Let's make some picks, and let's go. But I've always thought, you know, Chicago is a great, great spot for basketball. In fact, I get in trouble because I live here in southern Indiana, and I'm like, you guys don't understand, man. Northwest Indiana, the Chicagoland area, kick the hell out of all these teams down here, whether it's high school, it don't matter.
See,
don't at me, people.
And that's why, Dan, that's why Bulls fans were down about the Buchanan thing, because, look, if he thought he wouldn't get the job, wouldn't you still take the interview network and at least find the experience? I mean, like, there's already been a guy who probably – I know, but, Dan, there's four names that are being listed as interviews. He's one of four to start with. Bobby Webster from Toronto, there's word that they may not even give him permission to speak. Now that could be three. I don't understand, like, and Bulls fans framed it the other way. They looked at it and they're like, wow, Buchanan saying no to us? Is this how little people think of our job?
Yeah. Here's my sense has always been this with jobs, bigger jobs. Like, every job I ever got in college, I got way before anybody else knew. Like, when I was going to West Virginia from Bowling Green, I got that job way before they were talking about this guy, that guy, that guy, this guy. And I had the job already in pocket. And that's the way my experience has always been. That's the way these things roll. And if you don't feel like you have a job, yeah, I guess you could say you networked, or yeah, you could say you went into Chicago and interviewed it with the people there. Sure, you can do all that, but how much does that really help you? All it means is that you went and interviewed for a job and you didn't get the job. And then what happens is people start asking, why doesn't he get jobs? Why he interviewed here, he didn't get the job? There's a thing in coaching and in administration called the list. And when that list gets going, it's like when you want to fire somebody, right? When you want to fire somebody, the media brings out the list. Well, in 2015, he did this. In 2017, he did this. In 2018, remember, there's always that freaking list. And that list for guys that are assistants, whether it's as coaches or whether it's as administrators, includes, well, you know, he interviewed for the Bulls job and they didn't give him the job. He did this at this job and they didn't give him it. It just becomes that. So unless there's something... unless there's something that Chad knew, or maybe he knows something about Kevin Pritchard and his longevity here. And, you know, one of the things about, you're talking about Reinsdorf, well, one of the things about here in Indianapolis, Simons are incredibly loyal. Simons are people that if you put a list together of who do you want to work for in the NBA, the Simons and the Pacers will be, I'm promising you, in the top two or three. I'm promising you. That's how they loyal. They take care of their employees. They get the hell out of the way. They let Larry Bird do his thing. They're letting Pritchard and Chad do their thing. So it's not like, and I would say this to Chicago fans, it's not like he stayed at a place where people are dying to get out. Like Larry Bird, he hasn't been the general manager, vice president for 3 years, and that dude's still hanging around. Like he's like oh, I was going to say a virus. I don't want to make a joke, and I'm not trying to say he's like something that a cough that just won't leave you. I mean, he just stays and
he's Larry like, Legend.
Those Bird, yeah, and Donnie Walsh has been in the NBA 7 million years, and 6 million of them have been with the Pacers. I'm telling you, people love working for the Pacers. They love it. They absolutely love it. And so him not leaving isn't necessarily a slap at Chicago. I would say the combination of him thinking he's not getting the job and him thinking that he's in a great spot, that combination's strong.
Dan, always great catching up with you. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll talk to you in better times,
well,
okay?
Danny.
See you, boys. Hey, Waddle, you've seen Perry, haven't you? You don't have to come in anymore, do you? You've seen Perry. You've seen the penthouse. You're not coming in. You're drinking wine, sitting on your back deck doing a radio show, aren't you?
I'm actually in my office right now, but when it heats up, definitely I'll be outside.
That's what I thought. Yeah. See you.
See you, Dan. Right, see you, there you go. Well, what do the Bulls play after they beat an opponent? Another one bites the dust. Let's say that another one bites the dust on their candidate list. We'll tell you about that coming up next.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
What's going on with this this search? I don't know if this is an indication that the job isn't good. People don't want it. If this is an indication that they are scared that John Paxson will be around to meddle. But Tim Reynolds reported it. Then Mark Stein confirmed it. That the Heat and Andy Simon, they're staying together. Adam Simon is staying with the Heat. He's not going to pursue what? The Chicago job. So Buchanan has already declined the interview. Now Adam Simon from the Heat has declined the interview. Mark Stein also added that, as Casey Johnson reported earlier, that the Bulls will probably not get a shot at Bobby Webster, because usually teams do allow their guys to interview because they never want to shorten their growth. But there could be a chance that they need Bobby Webster to run things if Ujiri leaves. So
that one makes a little bit of sense.
Yes.
Right?
So they've gotten approval to talk to Karnisovas, who is Denver's guy. And then, according to Casey, Utah's Justin Zanuck. We're all going to need to take a Xanax.
Take a Xanax.
While we're watching this search. So those are the two that they do have approval to talk to. And I guess those guys will want to talk to the Bulls. I don't know why Adam Simon would not want to talk to the Bulls, or Buchanan doesn't want to talk to the Bulls. What do you think, Waddle?
I have no idea. On the surface, the first response, I think, because we're conditioned to feel this way, is, well, there's something wrong in, you know, what's the saying? There's something wrong in Denmark. Something smells. Something like that.
Something's rotten in Denmark.
Rotten. There you go. Thank you. Something's rotten in Denmark. I'm sure there's a conclusion that, well, maybe this job isn't going to have the autonomy that it was advertised to have. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but I'm sure that's one conclusion that people are willing to come to at this point. I think you got to look at these things individually. Like you mentioned, the guy who's the guy in Toronto, Webster.
Yes, Bobby Webster.
I understand why maybe that one's in flux. These others, these aren't good signs.
Bobby Webster wasn't a guy, according to the reports, that turned down the Bulls. This may just be one where the Raptors say, no, we're not going to let him talk because of our unsettled. We've got a guy who's a free agent in Ujiri. So we're gonna keep him under his contractual rights, which they usually don't do. So I don't know what the deal is, and maybe
I'd have to get more clarity from their existing teams. Like, I don't know what's Pat Riley ain't stepping away anytime soon, right?
I mean, wouldn't think so, no. He still seems like he's got a great love for the game.
Right.
But this guy isn't even second in charge, I don't think.
Yeah, that's odd. It's. I mean, because I agree. I think we haven't had the conversation yet. But despite all that has gone in a mediocre fashion recently, I still think this is a very good job, only if the job does provide full autonomy.
Right.
And that's a conversation that I think we had in the pre-show fistfight because of an article or a mention in one of the articles. And I thought Abdallah had a really good point on that front with regard to the guy in charge of the salary cap issues or the cap issues here in Chicago.
So what Casey Johnson wrote when he wrote the article about Pacers GM Chad Buchanan turning down the opportunity to interview, he says, one rising force in the Bulls front office who is expected to be safe is assistant GM Steve Weinman, a source said. He made an impression not only internally but among rival league executives for his salary cap acumen and knowledge of the collective bargaining agreement. Now, I'm not saying this guy isn't, this isn't Casey, this is me now. I'm not saying that this guy isn't great at his job and other teams would want him and all that kind of thing. But if you're telling me Pax is going to stay, you're telling me Gar is going to stay, you're telling me that now Steve Weinman's going to stay. If I'm coming in, I want to bring in whoever the hell I want to bring in. I don't care. Like, if I want to get rid of your cap guy, then I'm bringing in my own cap guy. Like, if I want to bring in another dude, if I want to bring in a new mascot, I'm bringing in a new mascot.
Well, Benny's pretty damn
good.
No,
would you do mascot? I know. Benny's good. No. Benny's good. I bring back Double. Double was great.
This bull is like Double. He's a little more aggressive. Remember, Fat Benny of the 90s was like too cuddly.
I know. And rewatching these games with my wife, she's like, why is Benny fat? I'm like, well, Benny let himself go for a while and then he got on whatever.
Yeah, but now he's morphed into Double.
If you keep telling candidates that all these guys are going to be around, then to me as a candidate, well, okay, if Pax is not going to have a role, then what's he doing there? Like Pax can have a job. If the Rhinestars want to keep Pax on and pay him and give him a job, that's fine. But ultimately, what is this guy like? What is he doing? If you got to be worrying, is this guy going to be breathing down your neck every move you make or something like that? I don't know what their plan is for Pax and Gar and for Steve Weinman, whatever it is. But if you keep telling people that more and more guys, their jobs are safe, then what are you really bringing in a new basketball mind to do?
I think it's a very fair question. My response would be, all I care about is whether or not the guy who's getting the interview has full autonomy. If he's got full autonomy, this may be a bonus. I mean, because didn't part of the article say that this guy is respected beyond just Chicago? He's respected beyond, you know, with throughout the NBA.
He's caught the attention of some others around the league.
Right. Now he may actually be an asset in terms of recruiting a general manager. With that in mind, again, the GM should have the capacity, or whoever's in charge, whatever the title he's going to get, should have the capacity to make that decision. Full autonomy to be the bottom line.
Do you remember how Ryan Pace started his tenure with the Bears now that we know the story?
Yeah, basically it was that Ernie Accorsi forced John Fox on him.
Is that the way you want to start things?
No.
So, I mean, I get what Abdallah's saying. An artist doesn't want to paint on a canvas already filled with paint. Like, Gar's not a general manager anymore, but he's a scout. And Pax is over there, and he's not the vice president, but he's there. And then now our cap guy is staying. You know what? I mean,
this is my point, a lot's
being forced on a new guy when they're, quote, is it really autonomy? Is perception the reality here?
Well, I can't answer that question. All I can say is the job is only attractive to someone if they're given full autonomy. If Jerry Reinsdorf wants to pay John Paxson whatever he wants to pay him to do the New York Times crossword puzzle in his desk every day, that's up to Jerry Reinsdorf. That has nothing to do with basketball decisions. Now, I'm not suggesting that the full autonomy is going to be given. That's what I'm saying that the guy coming in would have to demand.
Right.
He would have to have the assurance that he is making all of the basketball decisions. It's fine if that guy has a voice. It's fine if that guy has a voice. But when it comes down to making a decision, I'm in charge, and I have the ability to hire whoever it is I want to hire.
We still have the good, the bad, the dirty to do. We could move that back a little bit if people want to talk about this. Are you worried as a Bulls fan that some of this stuff is scaring guys away? Why is a guy who's like second or third in charge in Miami not even taking an interview? Why is Chad Buchanan in Indy not taking an interview? Is this sort of a good reflection on how the Bulls are regarded these days. 312-332-3776. And then we'll have the good, the bad, the dirty. It's all coming up.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home. Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Gotta read you some of these tweets, Waddle.
Yeah.
You know how Bulls fans, where they are right now, it's been like dog that's been kicked for years.
Yes.
So, like, if someone starts walking close to them, even if they have good intentions, the dog's gonna flinch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's a good way to describe it.
This is Jose. He tweets, he says, like in the draft, we'll have the number 7 pick or more available managers. Not Zion, not John Morant, not even Bobby Webster will draft in the second round of general managers. Good luck. Let's see. This is a good one from Jim. He says, it's bleeping weird to have the ex-president still in the building with the owner you know he's close to. But someone is going to take this job because it's too good of a gig not to. But we're putting ourselves, are we putting ourselves in the best position possible? Jason.
Listen, the only way you're going to get the answers is ask some of these people why they decided to stay where they stayed.
Jason Honeycutt, our buddy, says no free agent player wants to come to the Bulls and no executive wants to come. Yet Pax doesn't think there's anything wrong with the culture of the front office. He needs to take a look in the mirror of this mess he made. There's no cap on salary. They need to offer a blank check.
Didn't Woj, wasn't part of Woj's article or tweet. Was about how this is still viewed as a really good job. I mean, it was a conversation that we had prior to the show today.
I could play it, yeah. Then we'll take your calls at 312-332-3776. One more tweet I wanted to read. Dave Wilmot says, why does it feel like they're telling candidates, you can't fire Jim Boylan before even interviewing them? It's good stuff. So which is the best one to play, Meller? 1, 2, or 3 on Woj regarding the Bulls' job? I have three.
Yeah, I'm trying. I think the first one is probably the newsiest, and then I'm trying to remember if the third one might.
Or is Bobby Marks the better one to play here?
Yeah, Marks might. It's on Woj's pod.
Okay, so Bobby Marks used to be the assistant general manager in Brooklyn and New Jersey back in the day, and this is him talking about what he thinks about the Bulls' job.
I think the Chicago job is probably one of the even though this team's been in the lottery. Most recently, is still one of the more premier jobs in the league here, based on certainly the history of the Bulls. Big city, big market. There is some type of foundation there already. I think we'll probably talk about that a little bit more there. But yeah, I think there is certainly appeal there when it comes to when it comes to the job. As far as the timeline, as far as where we are right now, hey, we're all home, right? To get your house in order, as far as if you're going to start the hire or the interview process, teams got all the time in the world right now to go about and do that, because eventually, Woj, as you know, there's going to be an off season here, right? We don't know when it's going to be. If it's in August or September or July, who knows when it's going to be. So I think to be prepared is the right thing to do.
There's Bobby.
So why are guys at this point pulling out? I mean,
it's a great question.
A term.
Don't know.
Like, look, this job is not a great job. If the job doesn't promote full autonomy. It
right.
just isn't.
And again,
it's not the job that everyone is talking about as being this great job, if in fact it comes with predetermined decisions.
And that's the fear of Bulls fans, whether it's true or not, whether what we don't know what they're offering. We don't know why these people are withdrawing. We only know what the optics have been in the past. And like, here's another one from Jai. He says, who wants to come to the Chicago Bulls with packs of practice making people uncomfortable because of past relations with them? It's only attractive because we live here. Bob says, why would you want this job when you won't be able to make any decisions? This is only being done to appease the fans because of dwindling attendance.
Then it's not a good job. It's really simple.
But
if the job offers full autonomy, it's a good job. If it doesn't offer full autonomy, it's not a good job.
Like, and the thing is, I like, we've lived it, so I think it's easy to jump to that conclusion. But I reject that notion that they're telling people that you're going to have autonomy. Like, I think if you're a candidate, especially because we're not talking about like Sam Presti or Masai Ujiri, if those two, you could understand why they would decline, because they're already running organizations and they know what they want. They might want certain people to be there. And you could see why Sam Presti would say to Jerry Reinsdorf, I'm not coming there if John Paxson's there. But if you're somebody who's second in command of an organization and you truly want to be the general manager or the vice president of basketball operations, in the third largest market in the country, to have an opportunity to do so, I don't see how you could say, no, I'm going to decline going to take an interview, unless you had other compelling reasons to stay in your organization.
Sure. I think it's a good point, Jeff. My point when I say full autonomy is the coach, totally up to this guy. Like, you can't say, hey, we want you to come in and interview for this job, whatever the title is, but you got to keep Jim Boylan. Or you can come in here, but you have to take the advice of John Paxson before
the draft is yours.
Picks.
Free agency is yours.
Correct.
It's yours.
That's what I'm talking about, autonomy. I'm with you, Jeff. Unless it's, you know, one of the names you mentioned, you know, you are going to be able to make some demands. You may not be able to make every demand of somebody like a Sam Presti. But again, the job is only a good job if the guy coming in has full control, as you said, Sylvie, of the draft and free agency and the coach.
Yep. Dan's in on the West Side. Dan, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Hey, I don't get this musical chairs way that the Bulls organization run. They did the same thing with the White Sox when they moved up Rick Hahn when Kenny Williams was the GM running things. I mean, I'm quite sure he still has a say in the room, but Rick Hahn just has the title. I mean, the way the Bulls are doing things is totally unorthodox because you have these guys that are constantly turning down this role who are second and third in command, only to come here probably be third or fourth. So why would you want to take a job like that when you don't have any autonomy within the organization as being the GM or president?
See that? Well, that's the issue. I mean, your comment was basically coming to the conclusion there's no autonomy. I don't know if there is any full autonomy, partial autonomy, no autonomy. All I'm telling you is the only way it's a really attractive job is if the guy has control of roster decisions, the draft, free agency, and who he wants to put together as a coach.
Let me ask you this. You know how people would always say it's weird that Ted Phillips is in the room for some of these big football decisions? Who is he? He's an accountant. He's a cap guy. Why is he leading the way with George and with Pace with these coaching hires or the general manager hire? That's how you get John Fox. Not that you and I thought John were bad, but Ryan Pace didn't get to hire his first coach. You know, and that happens when you got your president is Ted Phillips. So let me ask you, if Michael Reinsdorf is being led in this search by John Paxson, if John's in the room with Michael while they're interviewing, and when, I don't know if that's true or not. That would be weird, though, wouldn't it? When John's there and you're saying, well, I thought I'm interviewing for your job. Why are you leading the interview?
They definitely could create an odd situation. But again, it comes down to, and listen, they've done things in an unconventional way on a lot of fronts. I don't know what they're offering. I don't think anybody knows. But
until they do the press conference.
Until they do the press conference. I mean, I don't think that there's anybody coming here that is on the top of people's lists coming here to not make their own decisions.
Right. And look, I get it from Bulls fans. If I'm a Bulls official right now, and I'm listening to our show and I'm hearing negativity, I wouldn't say, why are you guys all negative? I would say, we made our bed. We have to prove to everyone that we're doing it the right way this time because of all the missteps in the past. Gideon is in Des Plaines. Gideon, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys. So this does seem a little fishy. And one reason why I think it does is because this reminds me of the story about the mole or spy in the locker room. You're bringing in a president of basketball operations, and there are three guys, Gar, John, and this cap guy, who already have the trust of ownership, and they may be more trusted than ownership than this new president of basketball operations. And I think that could also put doubt in the mind of the basketball operations guy who comes in and is making decisions if he's being tattled on, for lack of better terms, by these three who are already here and have the trust of ownership.
Well, if we're talking about tattling now, we ought to just close the doors and walk away.
Well, but there has been stories written about, like, people tattling, like people looking out for Gar. What wasn't that the thing about Randy Brown in the past being a coach? I mean, these stories are not unfounded either.
And if that stuff, I almost said a bad word, that stuff is still going on, you're getting nobody. It's really simple. If that is still going on.
Well, it may not be going on, but it happened. And why? Like, when you hear someone say, use the word tattle, you're like, well, that, come on now. That's not going to happen. But there are reports that did happen with this same team in recent history.
You're going to be, again, I think you're going to be able to figure out, follow the breadcrumbs. You're going to be able to figure out what they're offering in terms of the autonomy based on who takes this job.
If you want to be a GM, there's 30 positions in the league. And again, Chicago, I'm sorry, if a GM job comes open, the team, the roster, it's not going to be great. That's how sports work. You know what I mean? So part of the allure is still being in a great city like Chicago.
312-332-3776. We've got the good, the bad, the dirty. Gene Greco coming up at 5:30. We got our final four list. There's so much to do, so much to get caught up on. We're here for you.
It's Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Do today. We've talked some Bears, we've talked some Bulls, big picture sports. Let's get to a recap of our weekends. It is called The Good, The Bad, The Dirty.
The Good.
It's gone! Oh my God!
The Bad.
That is so bad, that is absolutely brutal.
And The Dirty.
I'm talking about nasty.
Wow. So many stories are running through my head right now.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
Well, we'll go around the room, Meller and Abdallah in it as well, all four of us, and we'll pick one thing good, one thing bad, one thing that we perceive as dirty from the weekend. Waddle, what do you got?
We heard this story a week or so ago. Remember how the Rams were being ridiculed for their new logo?
Yes.
They actually turned that negativity into a positive as they were able to raise more than $2 million for coronavirus relief. And it was an effort. Kevin Demoff, the Rams' chief operating officer, who had been heading the project for more than 2 years, promised to read mean tweets about the new logos if a recent telethon hosted by the Rams and KABC, the local ABC affiliate in L.A., raised more than $2 million for coronavirus relief efforts. So they passed the $2.2 million mark in this this recent telethon, and he kept his word, and he recorded a video, and they published him reading mean tweets about the logo. So they took something that was negative and helped it become a positive in L.A.
Are they? Do we have more Bulls news here, Abdallah? Is that what you're putting on my screen, or is this non-urgent?
No, I mean, they interviewed the Justin Zanuck, did a video interview with the Chicago Bulls today.
Did we all get a Zanuck?
For the franchise's executive vice president of basketball operations opening, sources have told ESPN. Denver Nuggets GM Arturis Karnisovas, will interview with the Bulls midweek, according to Woj.
And then we'll see who else. We'll see if there's a wild card. Maybe there's a secret candidate that they don't that they already have in mind that they worked on. Who knows?
Maybe they're actually
the masterminds of all of this, and they're going to get us all.
Listen, I understand why everyone's ready to pounce, and I don't blame anyone being in the pounce position. Ready to pounce position. I think it's understandable and it's legitimate, and they're getting all of the criticism that they deserve based on how they've handled things. But I think that what you just said there, Sylvie, is, you know, we'll pounce when the decision is made. And, you know, listen, this just could be a poo storm. But until then.
That's the Bulls' way.
Exactly. But until then, I mean, I'm still interested in figuring out who they are going to actually find a way to hire.
Yes, absolutely. Did you see this, my good? I thought this was kind of cool. Now, I don't know. Some people still have to fly. for whatever reason.
Yes.
There was one, I think it was from like Washington to Boston, this person was flying. And it was one of the like American Eagle jets. It wasn't a full size, like 727 or something like that, Waddle. But do you know how many people were on this flight?
If I saw the picture correctly, it was one woman. She was the only passenger.
And they like they were customizing all of the announcements to her. They were still doing it. She got to sit in first class. There was one person on the entire flight.
Wow.
It was crazy. Can you imagine that service?
When are you going to, when we do get back to flying, how long do you think it'll be before you actually purchase a middle seat?
Oh, that's good. Unless you're sitting with your family. But yes, among two strangers.
Yeah.
That is tight. It's very tight. There's some bad stories out there, too, about like businesses. Like I was just reading one story I was telling these guys about AMC movie theaters may close permanently. And they're the leading movie theater out there.
Yeah.
And then if that happens, does the movie industry go away as far as watching the movie away from your home? How does it change? What do you guys have? What's your good?
It is definitely depressing in some ways.
That was my bad then. I just jumped my bad.
Perfect. Yeah. My good, gentlemen, you know what? You need something to make you feel good. The new Pixar film, Onward, is available on Disney Plus. Watched it last night with the kids and was an absolutely fabulous way to spend the evening with the kids. So Onward by Pixar is available on Disney Plus and it's very good.
Cool.
What do you got, Abdallah? You weren't watching Disney.
The internet, man. This is the internet.
This is your good every
week.
The
internet, man. I legit had the most fun I've had sitting at home. And I watched an Instagram live video of T-Pain and Lil Jon doing a DJ battle for 3 hours. Because if you listen to hip hop or any pop music from the year 1999 to now, it has probably been produced by T-Pain or Lil Jon, and it was just hit after hit. And they basically,
I was going to do that, but I stayed with Ozark. It was really close.
It was awesome. There were like 250,000 people at one point watching it. Like half the NBA was watching it. All these producers, all these stars were watching it. It was just so much fun. It was like a little club in my apartment.
It is cool. There are a lot of innovative people out there who are doing concerts like this and using the internet for good. Waddle, what's your bad?
My bad was we gave the dog a bath yesterday, and wow, what a pain in the ass that was. She's like slipped through our hands. She was shaking all over the place. I mean, it was, she looked like, I mean, when you water that poodle down, she looks like a little, well, not little any longer, but just a pink hot dog. And then you got to blow dry her hair so it doesn't mat down. It was a pain in the ass.
Yeah, not that fun.
Oh.
You usually have the groomer do it?
Yeah, I mean, we're not professional dog bathers. And, I mean, we can do it, obviously, but it was a pain in the ass.
I gave you my bad already about movie theaters.
My bad, gentlemen. The muscle soreness I've been feeling the last few days now that I'm home with the kids, running them through a performance enhancement drills every morning.
What are you, running a speed camp?
Yeah, Alex is doing 40-yard dashes now every day. I've also been doing lunges and squats more than I've been doing in the past.
Who are you, Cap?
Marv Marinovich.
It's let me tell you, the back muscles have been sore the last few days.
Nothing sounds worse than doing lunges and squats. Listen, even if you do like to stay in shape.
You got 9-year-olds, they're not going to do them on their own. You got to do it with it. I'm
Wait a second, your daughter, you're making Peyton do it.
I don't
as well?
Make her, but she usually jumps in after, you know, after she sees Alex and I do a few. So
my turn on the rack.
Need a spotter.
What do you got, Abdallah?
What is going on? We've been talking about it all day. This stupid bull search. I have a feeling it's not going to end well. We're going to get the dude from the Jazz that, like, okay, what have the Jazz done recently?
They're Karl Malone.
They're the Bulls. Like, the Jazz are what the Bulls are. They're like, okay, all right, whatever. What have the Nuggets done? I want winners. I want people that have done something.
Well, wait a minute now. Doesn't Mickey Loomis at one time, didn't he run the Pelicans and the Saints?
Yes.
How about Ryan Pace running the ball?
Yeah. All right.
Hey, maybe Jimmy Graham could be your power forward.
Just give Jim Boylan
full autonomy. He's on a two-way contract.
Just give Jim Boylan full autonomy. Let him bring in his own GM.
Oh, no. That's why you should hold out hope. Because the other two possibilities are Boylan getting the entire power structure.
Hell yeah.
Or Ryan Pace running both teams.
No.
What do you got, Lotto? What's your dirty?
My dirty was a story I read to you earlier about Kyle Walker, the star soccer player for Abdallah's team, Man City. Listen, you don't go on social media projecting this great thought of social distancing and then hire a couple of prostitutes for you and your guy to hang
sex
out
sex parties,
with.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's
just
gathering.
That's dirty.
Though.
That's kind of a dirty message to send.
My dirty is the way the haircuts turned out on the boys. Waddle calls it the worst haircut he's ever seen. We took a clipper, and I just started shaving. I didn't know how to do it or what to do it or what guard to put
on. Well,
that's
quite obvious.
And I'll send out a picture of the side of my oldest son. And you got to see how not straight the line is and just crazy it is.
Yeah, not good.
Dirty.
My dirty, I'll call out my own football club, the Liverpool Reds. Not good. What they tried to pull off over the weekend, they were going to furlough a large portion of their work staff, which was then going to force the English government to pay 80% of their salary. And they decided, after being shamed by the public, to not go ahead. As a very wealthy Premier League club, one of the wealthiest in the world, they decided, you know what, we will actually pay for our own employees. So dirty on Liverpool to try to pull that off over the weekend.
My dirty, guys, is a new game I learned the kids are playing.
I was out for
a walk with my wife, and we were walking through our neighborhood, and there were three kids. They were clearly siblings, as they were all, you know, they're playing in their front yard, and they were playing Corona. And what they were doing is they were avoiding one kid. They were running. One kid was chasing after them, and they were running. And it's like, look, let's play tag. Why are you changing the name? What are we doing here? But that's dirty. That's what
that is dirty.
Parents, you parents need to teach your kids better.
All right, is it dirty to not root for Mitch Trubisky for the Bears starting quarterback? That, our Final Four, and Mark Jean Greco all in the 5 o'clock.